What are the giants in your life? A failing marriage? The loss of a job? Failing health? Giants can be defeated by God's people. We'll tell you how next on The Balanced Word.
If our lives just become going through the motions, for the sake of comfort, we cause ourselves to just know what to expect by having every day be the same. I get up at the same time. I do the same thing. I eat the same breakfast. I drive the same place in the morning. When I come in, I have my habits. And that's the way I live my life, even on my day off, because I just like, it just seems easier. It's more comfortable. It's more comfortable till a 17-pound arrowhead goes through your chest, and then you go, man, what happened? So when you have a giant that you want to beat, you're going to have to stop doing what you've been trying to do to make it work.
Wake up my soul. Wake up early in the day. Wake up my hand. And the instrument I play. Wake up my voice. Let the world hear me say, you are worshipped and exalted here today.
Today on The Balanced Word, we're going to witness one of the most famous fights in history. Sugar Ray Leonard and Tommy Hearns? Ali versus Frazier? Nope. We're talking about David versus Goliath. The day that David killed the giant named Goliath marked a turning point in not only David's life, but also the life of the nation of Israel. They were in desperate need of a powerful and godly leader, and David's triumph propelled him into that role. Of course, it was God's doing. The practical lessons for you and me are everywhere within this amazing story of courage, faith, and God's faithfulness. And a very accurate slingshot. We've reserved a ringside seat for you. So let's join Pastor Dave Rolfe in 1 Samuel chapter 17 for today's Bible story.
What could this possibly have to do with us? Do you have giants in your life? A giant in your life is something that you're afraid of, something that you are trying to avoid, something that haunts you, something that holds you back, something that's so big that you just think, I can't take that on. We all have different giants, but we all have giants. We all have something that is cheap-talking us, trash-talking us, taunting us. I mean, maybe when you were a kid, it was some bully that was just saying horrible things about you. And maybe now, after you've grown up, that voice still echoes in your head. I know I learned from my years in martial arts that most people get into martial arts because they got picked on a lot and they just feel like, okay, I never want to be embarrassed like that again. Most guys who are bodybuilders are guys who feel like they're not enough of a man. So they're like, oh, I got to do this. I have to prove this. But, you know, who's your giant? Think about it. What is it you're afraid of? Maybe it's something that people said to you when you were a kid. And you're still believing it. You're still actually fulfilling it and living up to it. Maybe it was one day when you lost a job and they said, you just can't do this. And ever since then, that's what you've been feeling like defines you. Maybe your parents rejected you, or maybe you were in a relationship and they just decided you weren't loving anymore. I'm done with you. Maybe you've been rejected by your kids. Maybe you've been rejected by people around you. What is it that looms at you? Maybe it's a deep hurt that you have from the past. What's your giant? Because we need to identify, what are my giants? So for me, I'm going to say, first of all, you know, what is it that's controlling my life, that's holding me back, that's mocking and taunting me? What is it that I'm hiding from? Okay? And I think most of us have giants in our lives. Some of us have several. So how are we going to approach this? Well, for David, the first thing is he had the courage to actually act in faith. You know, a lot of times just doing something seems so intimidating. Trying to change your life in any way just seems like, man, I know they're going to mock me. I know that it won't work. And so often, it's much easier to be a critic than it is to actually do something. So often, I find myself, as I was thinking about this passage, I was thinking, there are some people I have seen who do these incredible acts of courage to try to do something for God. And I look at it and I go, that's stupid. That is not going to work. And it's much easier to say what won't work than to do something yourself that actually might work. So for instance, if I'm down at the beach and there's some guy with a bullhorn yelling at people that they're going to hell, I just go, that's so stupid. That makes Christians look bad. That's not going to win anyone for Christ. But then I have to go, but wait a minute. That guy believes in this enough to be actually out there doing something. So what am I doing that takes courage? Or am I just doing something that's really safe? Or I look at a Christian movie, and I go to it, and I go, what a stupid movie. That's real. Or, you know, maybe the best thing I might say is, well, that's not as bad as most Christian movies. But ultimately, I think for somebody to go spend the money to make a Christian movie and believe that somehow it's going to change the world, that's just stupid. And it might be. But David, when he faced the giant, everyone thought what he was going to do was stupid. But at least he had courage to try something. And I think that that's where it has to start. If we don't try anything, we're never going to succeed at anything in the realm of conquering giants. So the first thing is to look within ourselves and say, who are our giants? But then to say, so what am I willing to do to tackle that giant, to face it off, to maybe defeat the thing? Now, the second thing that we said that David did was he began to think about what would happen if he wins. And a lot of times we don't even like to think about this because it smacks of some kind of positive confession or something like that. But David had no problem thinking of, I want to defend the honor of the Lord, but also I get the girl. I get rich and I don't have to pay taxes. So for us, in tackling our giants, do we ever even think about, wow, if I could beat this, imagine what life would be like. Right now, every time I try something, I hear this voice in my head from the past that's saying, you're going to fail. You're nothing. You're a phony. I would go, what would it feel like if I could really beat that? How good would that feel? How rewarding would it be for me to overcome my limitations? If I wasn't afraid of my boss anymore, or if I wasn't afraid to go out there and find work in a different sort of way, if I wasn't believing what my parents told me, if I wasn't believing what other people tell me, if I wasn't always worried about how people are looking at me or how I look, what would that feel like? What would that be like? For David, that was a huge motivating factor. It was really what got him on this plan in the first place. Now, the third thing for David was he knew his enemy. And we need to know our enemy. We got to understand this from the Bible. Your enemy is never a person. Your enemy is never something that a person did, something that they say, something that they think. Paul tells us in Ephesians, we don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers. Over in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, Paul says this. He says, our weapons are not carnal. They're not material. Our weapons are mighty. How? Through the tearing down of strongholds, taking every thought captive. Here's what you have to understand. You want to identify your enemy? Now, I can identify giants in my life for sure. But my real enemy is right up here. That's why Paul talks about the renewing of your mind. The word repent means to think again. You know, and so ultimately it's until we can think differently, we're never going to defeat our giants. Because the enemy is not your boss or that bully when you were a kid or your ex-husband or wife or people who scorn you, your boss or whoever. They aren't really your enemy. Your enemy's in your head. The devil is your enemy. And the only way he has of attacking you is messing with your head. And so that's where the battle has to lie. And so for David, he understood, I know who the battle is. I know the giant. I know how he does work. And we need to do the same thing. Now, the fourth thing I said about David is he didn't act habitually. He didn't just do what everyone expected. Now, to me, one of the most destructive forces in any of our lives is the ability that we have to fall into habit patterns, to just keep doing what we've always done. Now, if he was going to do that, he would have put armor on, gone down there, and tried to fight against a 17-pound, hooked onto a beam spear being jabbed at him. He would have tried to out-duel a 9.5 foot tall guy. But he just goes, I know that we have a tradition that every time this happens, then this is what we do. But he goes, there's no rules as far as I'm concerned. It's, I can do whatever I want. Well, I'll tell the story. My old karate instructor who's died years ago, but he told me one time, he goes, David, in the street, I have only one rule. Should I say this? I will never kick a woman in, and I'll just say, in a man place. Other than that, everything goes. That's kind of David's thing. Okay, you have your way of doing it, but I'm going to do it differently. So I've been, lately I was studying a little bit on habits. I think this is so fascinating. There's a guy who is the head of Pixar Studios who wrote a book on creativity, and it's really fascinating. But in this book, he talks about neuroscience has understood now that when you look at something, your eye is only providing 40% of the picture that your brain actually creates when you look at something. The rest of it, the other 60%, is provided from a combination of memories and suppositions and filling in the blanks. In other words, when you look at a room like this, you don't see everything in the room. You're kind of seeing me, but if you go to church here regularly, you're used to seeing me. So you're picking up some of what I say. You're seeing if I do something really crazy or outrageous, you might remember that. But you're not noticing musical instruments, the screen, the beams, the lighting, or whatever. But if you've never been here before, or if you're gifted with ADD, which I seriously believe is a gift, people who have ADD, they notice more. But people who function in a habitual way only see what they see. Now, the way this works in a public place, for instance, if I am, last night I was at LAX. As I'm walking through that airport, I could walk to the baggage area in my sleep. I know that airport. So I'm not noticing anything. I'm just walking. It's like when I drive home from church. I don't know how I got there, but I end up pulling into my garage and going, oh, something's out of place. That's what habit does. It causes you to just not notice things. Now, it tends to make life a little easier because you're just not having to notice. But if I'm in an airport in another country that I've never been, like the first time I was in the airport in Hong Kong, oh my gosh, things are flying by me. It's like so confusing. There's so much input. I feel like ADD person. That's the way they feel all the time. It's just like when you go to the store and they've rearranged everything. All of a sudden your brain is racing. You're trying to put the pieces together because it's not where it was supposed to be. And that's what a habit-formed life is like. But for creativity, you have to violate the limits of your habits and step outside of it and look at it a different way. And that's why David was so creative, because he didn't do what everyone else did in the circumstance. Instead, he took a creative approach. There were a bunch of Jews that knew how to do slings, but nobody ever thought about doing it against a giant before you're getting in the ring. And so, wow, that was like, everyone was surprised. I never thought of that, because we always do it the same way. Same thing for us. If our lives just become going through the motions, for the sake of comfort, we cause ourselves to just know what to expect by having every day be the same. I get up at the same time. I do the same thing. I eat the same breakfast. I drive the same place in the morning. When I come in, I have my habits. And that's the way I live my life, even on my day off, because I just like, it just seems easier. It's more comfortable. It's more comfortable till a 17-pound arrowhead goes through your chest. And then you go, man, what happened? So when you have a giant that you want to beat, you're going to have to stop doing what you've been trying to do to make it work. Supposedly Einstein once said, if you keep doing the same thing and expect different results, you're nuts. And that's what we tend to do. So we have a giant that's haunting us from when we were little kids, and we're still trying the same approach. When I have that thought, I think this thought. When I feel that, you know, when I start feeling low and lousy, I hit the ice cream. When I, you know, feel this way, then I, but David teaches us that if we are going to kill giants, we're going to have to change our approach. If you don't do something different, you're going to keep getting the same results. And so he stepped out of that. And for us, God has given us the ability to be creative, to be able to think outside the box. He didn't design us to be like animals who just do the same thing all the time. That is our most basic instinct, to just go through the motions. As we mature, it's normal for little kids to be that way, but as we mature, we start to learn how to deviate from our normal behavior and find out that we can produce some different results if that happens. So if every time you look in the mirror and you look fat, and you go, oh, I feel fat, and people have called me fat and everything, so you decide, I might as well just go eat. I'm fat. Well, how's that been working for you? Is that really, or if you go starve yourself until dinner, and then you do good, and you're like salads and everything all day, and then at the end of your dinner salad, you just go, and a piece of pie. How's that working? Somehow you're going to have to try something different with those talents, because our brain's ability to create patterns, it's really impressive to allow us to do certain things that we do, but at the same time, it's destructive. For instance, if you talk to someone who teaches drawing, teaches art, you'll find that it's really hard to draw an object that you know what it is, like to draw a chair, because your mind already knows what a chair looks like. So rather than break it down into its component parts, you start drawing what you think is a chair, and that's why you're such a bad artist. But they've found, like in some art schools, they'll take an object, and maybe some of you have done this, turn the object upside down. Now it doesn't look like what it used to look like. Now it's way easier to draw because you're getting outside the patterns that are programmed into your mind. It's why, by the way, first graders have much better art than fifth graders, because by fifth grade, you're starting to critique your art and you're trying hard not to make a mistake, and it's not nearly as impressive as what a five-year-old will produce. In the same way for all of us, we have to decide, am I just going to do what I've always done, or am I going to look for a different approach to this? And so David's a great example of this. Try something else. Whatever it is that's keeping you down, whatever it is that's defeating you, what else could you try? And then for David, he used the skills that he had. He was really good with the sling because he had spent hours and hours and hours doing it. What are you really good at? What you are really good at, the talent that you have and the gifts that God has given you, may prove to be key to defeating your giants. But so often, and even when people become Christians, sometimes we talk to them about, well, old things are passed away, so therefore forget everything you know how to do. No, actually, some of the things that you really know how to do are things that God wants to really use in a powerful way in your life. That's the way it was with him, and that's the way it has to be with us. And if you go, I don't know, I look at my life and I'm not good at anything, start practicing. Get good at something. I don't even care what it is. God will use whatever you're passionate about enough to work hard at becoming proficient at it, no matter what it is. And so we take a different approach using the skills that we have. And then, like with David, keep a backup plan. Don't, you know, they say don't put all your eggs in one basket. Putting all your eggs in one basket isn't as bad as only having one egg. And so have some options. David is going to go down there, and he's going to take dead aim, and his goal is to hit the giant in the forehead, but he's got four other rocks, and if this doesn't work, I'm going to angle off, and I'm going to hit him another one from the other side, and if this doesn't work, and if this is, and finally, if all the rocks are gone, am I just going to go try to punch him? No, I'm out of there. I'm going to go, okay, your turn, tag, you're it, to somebody else, and I'll tell my brother, at least I tried. See, so same thing in our life. Maybe we're facing things that are difficult. Maybe we're trying things that are new. But have a backup plan. There's something about a backup plan that gives you great confidence. And then that's ultimately the seventh thing that I said about David, is he had this confidence. Confidence comes from a variety of sources. He believed in God. He believed that God could do anything. He believed that God hated what the Philistine was saying about him. He knew that everyone needed an option. He knew that he'd love to marry a princess, and having no taxes and having a pile of money was cool too. He had all of that going. So now he took a plan that was different than what anybody else was thinking of. He used the skills that he had. He had options. Ultimately, he's like, I have nothing to lose. And when you have nothing to lose, you can have incredible confidence in what you're trying. You can just go, God could bless this, and I'm going for it. And even if he had doubts in the back of his mind, he's like, I know I'm too quick for him to get me with that sword. I'm not getting that close. But I'm going for this, and I want to see what happens. So how confident are you that your giant can be taken out? Your giant is almost always a lie. The way that Satan attacks our minds is by lying to us. Is it possible for you to have victory over those giants that are holding you back? I say yes. I believe that that can happen. But if it's going to happen, you're going to have to do something different. You're going to have to change up your approach. You're going to have to break the pattern of your habits. And by faith and with great confidence and skill, try something else. Now, I don't know what that something else might be for you, because I don't know what your giant is, and there are as many giants as there are people in here, for sure. But what might make a difference? You know, if people have always told you that you have no musical talent, well, how hard have you actually tried? Not to become a professional musician, just to show, see, I can play a musical instrument. Now, you'll never play keyboards like Isaac or violin like Kelsey, maybe. But you'll play better than me. And I took piano lessons years ago. I think my piano teacher still owes me a few lessons. I just finally quit. But you know, how hard would it be to pick that up? All kinds of people do it. So if what you're feeling is, I have no talent in this area, there's more than one way to attack that area. Start to do computerized music. It's different. You know, if you've felt like your whole life that I wasn't a good student, or I had to quit school in order to do this, so now you just feel stupid. There are so many different ways to go to school now. And I'm so proud of people that I know. I knew a gal who, she had raised her kids. Her kids were most of the way through college. And she always just felt like, man, I never went to college. And now she's about finishing up her master's program and looking into a PhD. And she's, I don't know how old she is, but I don't think she's as old as I am, but she's old. And... But it's like, you don't know until you do it. You can go distance learning route. There's a lot of different ways to try to do something if that is your giant.
You're listening to The Balanced Word. In addition to being our teacher on the program, Dave Rolfe is the pastor of Pacific Hills Calvary Chapel in Aliso Viejo. We're going through the Bible right now in a series called Bible Stories. We have these messages archived for you at thebalancedword.com. Or call and request today's message on CD at 949-362-7475. And as a special appreciation gift for your donation of $10 or more, The Balanced Word is pleased to send you all of these messages in this Bible Story series on a USB thumb drive. You'll hear some of the Bible's greatest stories from Genesis through Revelation. To make a secure donation, go to thebalancedword.com or call 949-362-7475. And don't forget to ask for the Bible Story series as you give. Again, we're at thebalancedword.com. And we'd like to take this time to invite you to Pacific Hills Calvary Chapel. Our Sunday morning service times are at 8, 9:45, and 11:30. Again, we're at ccpacifichills.org if you'd like more information. Or if you're outside of the area, you can watch our live stream right there at ccpacifichills.org. Check out Pastor Dave's one-minute messages, a great way to start the day. You can listen to them at thebalancedword.com or watch them on Instagram or Facebook by following CC Pacific Hills. You're now to lead us in a word of prayer. Pastor Dave once again.
Lord, thank you for loving us, for being patient with us, for sending your son to die for us, so that now ultimately the battles that we fight are almost all pretend. It's all in our head. Lord, help us to look for fresh ways of living our lives. Protect us from our habits. Protect us from business as usual. And help us to find new and fresh ways to win over giants in your strength, by your Spirit, and for your glory. And for the people who don't know you, I pray that deep inside right now, they will just feel this strong urge, I gotta go forward. I got to get this right. This is what I need. Give them the courage to come down, get their lives right with you. We thank you, God, so much for not giving up on us, that some of us have been taunted for years by lies, and you're still here going, come on, you can do this. Thank you. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
More Bible stories coming your way after the weekend. We'll turn to 1 Samuel chapter 24, where David spares Saul, on the next Balanced Word, a daily presentation of Pacific Hills Calvary Chapel.
Wake up my soul. Wake up early in the day. Wake up my hands and yeah.